Turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. Then we're going to be going over to Luke chapter 17. Genesis 19, and then we'll go to Luke chapter 17. I want to talk to you today about the subject about don't look back. This is for the graduates, but I think this is for everybody here. Don't look back. We see in Genesis 19 that God is about to send judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And when God says, I'm done, he will correct things and he'll do whatever it takes to make it right. And he's going to teach us a very important lesson here through the life of Lot's wife. And for the sake of our story today, we're going to call her Lottie. Well, we got to name them. Otherwise, it's going to be her and Lot's wife. That's too much for me to say. I got a short time to say it in. In Genesis chapter 19, begin reading in verses 15 through 17. Then we're going to jump down to verse 26. Verse 15. At dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now or you'll be swept away in the destruction of the city. When Lot still hesitated, the angels seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, "Run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away." And then in verse 26, we see a terrible mistake being made. It says, but Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Lot's wife looked back, and she was swept away. Henry David Thoreau, who is an American author and philosopher, said that you never want to look back unless you're planning to go that way. There are too many times where we look back and we still hold on to what God has told us a long time ago, let go. There's some things in your life that you're going to have to let go of today, and this is the lesson that we want to step into. Briefly, the history behind Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were very evil places. They were filled with homosexuality, bestiality, drunkenness, and sin's galore. It was a very dead-end place. Nothing could reproduce there because they were doing unnatural things in ungodly ways. It was a sterile place. Maybe some of you feel like that you're in a sterile place. Nothing is moving in my life. Nothing's stirring in my life. Nothing's being birthed in my life and in my ministry and in my walk with God. It's just something is not the way it should be. We know that Sodom and Gomorrah was a sterile place because Lot's two daughters were married. And they had been married for 10 years approximately, and they had yet to give birth to babies because Sodom was a sterile place. Then we find in Luke chapter 17 where Jesus is just teaching his disciples about Sodom and Gomorrah. But what is interesting about Jesus' teaching on Sodom and Gomorrah is that he didn't hone in and condemn the sexuality and the immorality and the violence and the corruption in Sodom and Gomorrah. He could have focused on that. He could have really had many, many sermons on Sodom and Gomorrah and had a series going over and over. But he made a three-word statement and then stopped his sermon. In verse 26, verse 32, he says three words, remember Lot's wife. He didn't say remember the homosexuality, remember the bestiality, remember the drunkenness, remember the corruption, remember the immorality, remember the sin. He didn't say anything about that. He says you can focus on all of that if you want to, but that's not the root that Jesus wanted to deal with. He says, I want to get to the nitty-gritty with you, and I want to talk to you about Lot's wife. So what he was doing there is he was actually saying that Lot's wife and whatever she did trumped the immorality and sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And see, today in America, with all of the agendas going on and television and media and so forth, we think we need to preach against this and we need to preach against that. When Jesus was saying, you fix yourself, that will fix itself through you. So he says, let's get to the root of what we need to fix. And he says, let's look back at Lot's wife. So we're going to remember Lot's wife today. She did something worse than that sin. If there was any grade levels to sin, her sin level was worse than the others that we had mentioned earlier. It tells us very plainly in verse 26 that Lottie looked back. She looked back. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife? Remember what she did? What did she do? She looked back. So I looked up the Hebrew terms for the words looked back. Comes from the Hebrew words navat, N-A-V-A-T, which means she was concerned more with what she lost than what she was about to gain. I want you to focus with me here today in the short time that we've got. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Lottie syndrome, because some of us are got that incurable way, that mindset that we are going through the Lottie syndrome ourselves. That means we're too concerned about where we've been instead of being concerned about where we're going. Very plainly, you're going where you're thinking, and you're going where you're looking. So if you're looking back, you're going back. I know for a fact that you go where you look, because when I'm driving and I turn and look at Angel on the right, I say, you sure are gorgeous today. And I look at that, honey, you sure are gorgeous today. And guess where I'm going? I'm heading to the right. You do that too whenever you're driving. You go, you drive, you turn, you lean in the direction that you're looking. And I am guilty of that myself. But I want to teach you this, and I want you to catch this. You need to change where you're thinking so you'll change where you're going. It's all about getting your mind set up for success instead of destruction. The prodigal son was in a hog pen of despair. But the Bible says he finally came to himself. A light came on and he got back into his senses. Now, even though he was in a physical mess, he looked ahead in his spirit and saw his father's home. And he said within himself, I will arise and go to my father's house. He may have physically been in a hog pen at that moment, but he had already turned his life around in his mind, and in the spirit, he was already in his father's home. Some of you may be going through trials and desperate situations now, but realize that you were not meant to stay in this issue and this trouble, that you may be in your hog pen of life. You may be supping with the pigs. You may be eating the corn husk and all the leftovers of table scraps. And you're thinking, this must be as good as it gets. Lottie had the same problem. She thought, this is as good as it gets. And when she was told, you have to leave it all and go into the unknown, the next thing you know, Lottie cannot let go of what she thought was the best time of her life, and see ahead that there were greater glories for her to achieve. She was caught up. The prodigal son got out of his situation and came home. He did something about his situation. Can I tell you this? God is going to bless all that you're doing. God doesn't bless dysfunction. God blesses function. So if you are functioning all in the name of Jesus, saying, God, every step I take is in you, you're guiding, I don't know where I'm headed, it's the unknown, it's the great mystery, but God, every step I'm functioning by faith, I'm not going to live in despair and dysfunction. God, I believe you live and can and control my every being. So Lord, bless me for every function and faith step that I take. God will bless what you are doing. You're looking at the problem instead of looking ahead at your miracle. So what was Lottie looking back at? when we dive into her mindset, we have to remember she had lived in the wilderness with Abraham and Lot and his family and had just been nomadic for so many years. And finally, God gave them the release to find a home, settle down, and enjoy life. Lottie was among a wandering family, and the day had finally come where she could stop living in the wilderness and start living out her dreams. She had finally gotten her home, the white picket fence, the well-groomed flower gardens. She was happy. She was settled. This is what she had always wanted. She felt completely satisfied that nothing better could ever be ahead for her. So why did Lottie look back when she had to leave her dream? You're going to have to leave some of your dreams behind, because that dream was only meant to carry you so far. And God will give you a bigger dream to take you further than you ever thought you could go. It's all about not looking at it through your own eyes, but looking at it through God's eyes, saying, I'm not giving anything up, but I'm gaining so much more because I'm following the path of God. Lottie had an ability to say, I'm settled, I'm happy, this is as good as it gets, that the best was behind her, and she couldn't bear to let that go. But when she looked back, she didn't know that she was going to unleash a generational curse and lineage of curses on her family because she couldn't let go. Very briefly, let me touch on, when she looked back, she unleashed some terrible things for her family. That one, she couldn't even think straight. Walking, and she just glanced, and right then, generational curses began. The girls lost their mom. Lot lost his wife. Later on, we read in Lot's tragic life that his daughters try to seduce him. They turn to incest. Something's wrong with that picture. What happened? It's because Lottie took things into her own hands and felt like this is all there is and I have to give it up. God, what are you up to now? Why are you doing this to me? And she looked back and that one decision followed her into her kids' legacy for many generations. When you look back, what are you foregoing and giving up for your future legacy? Your one decision, there will be consequences for your decision. You make the right decision, you'll have right consequences. You make the wrong decision, wrong consequences, and they will follow your family. We've all had to let things go and say goodbye. We've all had those special attachments, past loves, relationships, places that we just loved and thought, this is it, it's heaven on earth, and God says, move. There are those hard-fought successes that you have fought for and memories that were made, and then God says, I need you to move. You ever felt that way? And God is one of those people, and we say like Lottie, we don't understand why we had to let these special things go and why God would take them away from us. But God says plainly this morning, I have a destiny for you. Nothing can compare with where I'm sending you. You like this so much. You thought this was the top. I've got something even greater. So turn loose of that. Leave it alone. Trust me. I know what's best for you. People will walk away because they weren't ready to go where you are going. You got to listen to this. I want you to hear me very clear. When people walk out of your life, let them walk. Don't you try to talk them back into staying with you, into loving you, into calling you, or caring about you, or coming to see you. Don't tell them to stay attached to you. Whenever they walk, let them walk. There's a reason. When people can walk away from you, just let them go, because your destiny is not tied with anybody who ever left you. Get it into your spirit. You've been asking God, Lord, why do I have to leave what was so special? Why did they ever walk out of my life? Let me tell you, if you've ever been fired from a job and you did nothing wrong, you need to thank God and go thank that boss for turning you loose whenever he did, because God says, now you're going to the next level. They couldn't go with you. I'm now taking care of you. You're in my hands. See, when people can walk away, they were never part of what God's plans were for you. That's why in 1 John 2:19, the writer says, they came out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. So when you've got those necessary endings in your life where people will say, see ya, don't want to be ya, and they leave you in your hot spot, and they leave you in that trial, don't you woe is me and be all upset and depressed. Say, you can't handle where God's taking me, obviously. That's the mindset you've got to take. That God's got something bigger and it's bigger than you. So you're obviously not ready to go where I'm about to go. See ya. It's called the spirit of goodbye. Some people, I got that spirit. I tell people goodbye all the time. People leave you because they're not joined to you. And if they're not joined to you, let them go. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they're bad people. It just means that their part of the story is over. And you've got to know that when people's part of your story is over, you can't keep trying to raise the dead, accept it. They're gone. Graduates, you're going to have friends from high school that you think you're going to be buds for years and years. Let me tell you, the day you graduate, you may never see them or talk to them again. Just the way it is. We preconceive our thoughts and say, yeah, we're going to be best buds. We write it in the yearbooks, always and forever. We'll keep in contact. We'll stay in touch. No, you won't, because some of those people can't go to the level God's ready to take you to. And you don't want any dead weight hanging around you. We don't need dead weight hanging around us. Just the facts. You got to know when to let things go. If you're holding on to something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended to be in your life, then you just need to let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If they're holding on to some thoughts and you've got evil and revengeful thoughts, let that go. It's killing you. If you have involved in a relationship or an addiction, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you're judging others just to make yourself feel bigger, you need to let that go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help someone who won't even help themselves, let them go. You don't need that burden where you're going in God. You don't need it. You need to let the past be the past, forget the former things, and say, God is doing a new thing in me today, so I'm letting everything else go. I'm not looking back, I'm moving ahead. My goodness. The Bible tells us very plainly, forgetting those things which are behind you. Paul writes that very clear. He says, forget those things which are behind you. What he's saying is, touching yesterday's stuff is canceling your destiny. Touching yesterday's things is like touching something that's dead. The priesthood in the Old Testament were instructed by God, do not touch dead things. It will make you unclean. Touch not the dead things. Can I tell you, when God says that part of your life is over, we're moving on, you're not ever to go back and even try to relive those glory days that was then, and what you did then was successful, but what I'm going to do in you now, that will not work. I need you to let that go. That's a dead thing. Bury it. We have a tendency to go back and want to touch the dead things. And when we touch it, that corrupts us. And we also become unclean. We become unfulfilled. We become unhappy because we are holding on to the past, which is canceling out our authority today. You see, touching those things from yesterday is canceling today's authority. When you look back at your past, you cancel your future. But the glory of God is not behind you. Somebody here needs to get this. The glory of God is not behind you. I'm going to say this to the church in general, to the Christian church in general, that our best days are not behind us. We've got greater glories ahead of us. But because we keep saying, but it always worked then, why isn't it working now? God says, you're touching the dead stuff. I want to do something new and fresh and creative in the church. I want to change the method, but I will keep the message strong and clear. See, God is saying, you've got to let me do a new thing, but I can't move you on until you let go. You are chained to something that is keeping you held back, and you can't step into your greater glory. Sometimes you say to God, but Lord, I feel like giving up. I feel like my life is over. I feel like the best is behind me. Can I tell you what God told me to tell you? It's not time to give up. It's time to get up. Yes, God says it very plainly. You are not destined to die on this side of the wilderness. You are not destined to die where you are. You're destined to go ahead. There's promises God will keep. There's a promised land. There are souls that are waiting for you to finally let go of your past and step into their destiny so that they will know how big your God is and introduce them to Jesus Christ. Your destiny has been written and established in the blood of Jesus. Nothing's going to overtake you or destroy your destiny because it's a God-given destiny. It's written that you shall arise in power and anointing to destroy the strongholds which chain you to your past. Your destiny is in your future and not in your past. Somebody needs to get that in their spirit. God is not going to waste his anointing on someone who will waste it. Somebody, that hits you right between the eyes right there. Lord, I know there's a calling on my life, but I just don't get it. I can't see it. I don't understand it. I know back then this is what I used to do, and this is what I did, and this is where I was. And God says, that's why I can't use you effectively, because you keep thinking I'm going to use you the way I used you yesterday. God says, I've got a new birth in you. You're going to give birth to a new ministry, a new development, a new creative way to present the gospel. And God says, until you're willing to stop comparing where you're going with what you had, you're never going to move forward. God's not going to waste his anointing on someone who will waste it. God has prepared you for a higher calling, a greater purpose, and a deeper destiny than you can imagine. And here's a word for somebody. God's not through with you yet. You've even said those words, haven't you? That it must be over. I've seen the best of times. I've been there. I've done this. God, it's for the younger generation to do now. I must be washed up. I must be done. I'm here to tell you, God is breathing a new fresh wind into the sail that you have set. And God is going to begin to progress you and move you forward. I see you in a ship whose sails have been folded long enough. And God says, I have the wind that's ready to blow you in the direction I want you to go. But you've got to set your sail. That means you've got to begin to raise those sails up again so they'll catch the wind of God. And they'll begin to guide you and direct you into the next part of your life. You're not too old to do what God's asking you to do. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God says that you're not washed up. Your future's brighter than ever because I am the bright light in your life. We say the glory days are over. But God says the glory days are not in your past. They're ahead of you. You will never discover who you are if you keep looking back at who you were. See, Lottie thought her best years were behind her. That's why she looked back. That's why Jesus didn't focus on all the corruption and sin. He says, if I can't get your heart and mind connected into my plans and my vision, then you're going nowhere but down, and you're locking your family out of a glorious legacy. When you realize that your best days are ahead of you and that your destiny is ahead of you and that you're going to do everything it takes within you to leap over mountains, you'll swim through waters, you'll fly over enemies, and you'll trample on scorpions to get to your destiny. When you finally get it, that God's not finished with me yet. And when you have a destiny over your life, you're going to do whatever it takes for you to get to whatever there is for you to get. It doesn't matter what people's opinions, rejection, laughter, mocking, jokes, it doesn't matter. God said, I can do it. I'm going to do it with or without you. If you're not with me, then I can say, let you go. Goodbye. Good riddance, because I'm moving on. You're obviously not part of my destiny. It's that plain. Even hell has come against you. Hell's threatened you. But you couldn't be stopped because you knew you had a destiny. You had a calling. There was a purpose in your life. Now, hell has tried to your whole life to destroy you because it knows that you have a destiny. But greater is he that is in you than anything in this world or universe or enemy's plans that try to come against you. You know that you are destined for something awesome. You are destined for greatness, and you might as well get ready for it, because ready or not, God's going to come and use you for something great. He wants to. Yes, even you. Because some of you, at the moment I said that, said, me? God, you can use me? Absolutely. Wherever you go today and tomorrow and every week and every breath and every step, you're stepping into a mission field. And God says, if you would just let go of whatever it is that's holding you and let me push you through to the next level, you're going to do some awesome things for me. I want to close with this. Luke 9:62. This is Jesus. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom. That's Jesus. I'm just the messenger. Jesus says, anybody who looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. There's a formula for destruction, and there's a formula for destiny. The formula for destruction is this: should look ahead, plus could look ahead, plus don't look ahead. That's destruction. But the formula for destiny and success and blessings from God is should look ahead, could look ahead, and did look ahead. Then you step in to your destiny. I feel it so strongly here today that my God is greater than your past pains, complaints, hurts, regrets. Some of you think that I've gone too far and messed up royally. So if God's going to use me, he's going to use me in just little ways every now and then. And I'm pretty well washed up because I haven't done everything right in my life. I'll be the first to tell you, I haven't done everything right in my life either. But I decide to let go of that, learn my lesson from it, and move on to whatever God has for me next. And say, I'm not letting that past trouble cancel my authority today. I'm ready to let people go that have been hurting me all my life. You still hear the echoes of disturbing language and names you were called and activities that took place in your life that were corruptible and hurtful and painful. You relive them over and over again. It's what I call spiritual seances. You sit around daily in your own mind and you draw up the spirits and the pains and agonies of the past. You are recreating and reliving those over and over again. And this is God's word to you today. You need to let that go. And God's not going to help. God is going to help you to do it with his help. And you'll never have to do it alone. You need to let that go. Those hurtful words keep your mind in a tizzy after all of these years. Those visions, those thoughts, those actions that were against you or someone you loved still haunt you today. Maybe you live in Murmurville. You're the mayor of Murmurville. Couldn't it be better, God? Why can't it be better, God? Lord, this is the worst. Why can't it be any better? Or maybe you are the governor of grief. You just can't get over something that you lost. And every day you beat yourself up because maybe you were the cause of the grief. Or someone or something that was out of your control caused that grief, and it still latches on to you today. Or maybe you're the president of pain. You still ache after years and years and years, which should have been healed and gone. New wounds open every day from old mindsets and old ways of thinking. I don't care what you're facing today, church, it is very plain to me that God is greater than your need. He's greater than your sin. He's greater than the trouble you're facing. And if you would just latch hold of Him, He will take you to the next level. Don't look back at what you've lost and what is left behind. That obviously wasn't necessary for where He's taking you.